We're really happy to have Elizabeth Foy Larson joining us tonight. She's a writer and editor whose stories on children and families have appeared in the Los Angeles Times and Mother Jones and the New York Times, Parents, and many other places. She's worked as a newspaper, magazine, and website editor, and was a member of the team that launched Sassy, a magazine for teenage girls. She's got a brand new book. She's a co-author of a brand new book just out in time for Christmas, really, called Unbored. And that's not unborn, it's Unbored, the essential field guide to serious fun. Elizabeth, welcome to the Roadhouse.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
That's great to have you. You know, as a mother of three children between the ages of 8 and 13, it's not surprising that your eye would turn to a book like this.
No, it's definitely a case of I was teaching what I needed to learn.
Now, we should fill people in a little bit about what this book is all about. It seems you've taken a lot of the old and you combine it with what kids are paying attention to now.
That's exactly right. We wanted to write a book for kids, my co-author Joshua Glenn and I, that incorporated a lot of the best of what childhood, I think we think of nostalgically as the best of old childhood activities, and to combine that with the everyday new realities of family life, which is that I'm sure I'm not the only parent out there who sometimes is mystified and feels like my children are disappearing into their screens. And what our idea was to look at, for the digital components of our book, was to look at some of the great ways that technology can enhance a kid's life and a family's life together. And so we wanted to bring that in as well as more traditional activities.
I would guess that a lot of this, too, a lot of what this book can do is you know, as you watch kids kind of, as you mentioned, kind of disappear into their screens or to their rooms or wherever they go, is just to remain relevant to the kids in an age where some of the parents can't follow where the kids are going.
I hope that by not treating technology as something evil that needs to be banned, that our readers trust us and trust that we are looking out for them in a healthy, good way, but in a way that understands them as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you co-wrote this with a fellow from Boston. Let's see, I have this here somewhere. Joshua Glenn.
Glenn.
Joshua Glenn, excuse me. And you're based in Minneapolis.
I am.
Was this, now you, and I believe you've done other projects with him. Did this distance create any problems with a project like this?
You know, you would think that it would, but it actually was fairly straightforward and easy for us to communicate long distance. We wrote the book using Google Docs, and so one of us would write a section and the other could edit it immediately and make the changes. There was no even just emailing back and forth. We had everything together on our computers. And then we would also Skype and have conversations that way when we needed to sort of communicate face-to-face along with our art director, Tony Leone, who is also based in Boston. So we relied a lot on technology to put the book together. And then also when we got to the proofing stage, I went out to Boston for a week and we spent some time together that way.
You wrote this, I guess, for kids kind of the ages between 8 and 13. What is there that's important and unique about this age group other than that's the age of your kids?
Well, that was, first of all, pretty interesting to me, although they weren't this age when I started writing the book. One of the things that I think is really important and interesting about this age group, and especially the middle school age kid, is that they're just starting to be in that process of figuring out who they are and who they are in the world and whether or not that's exactly the same as their parents or, more often than not, how that differentiates from who their parents are. And so a lot of what we were trying to do with Unbored was give kids, along with all these fun activities that they can do together or with their families, give them ways to think about them, their lives, think about what matters to them, and think about who they are, and to try to start listening to that voice inside you that tells you anything from as simple as I like pizza with tomato sauce versus I like pizza with no sauce, to what kind of music you like. Again, it's just a way of thinking about who you are and your own identity.
So as kids become start moving to becoming their own individuals, it's also a great time to keep connected.
Exactly. And again, that's another thing that I think that the book celebrates. While it's really about kids celebrating who they are and who they are as unique individuals, it's also really a book that we hope that families engage in together. There are a lot of activities, including a lot of the online activities, that you really can't do unless you're doing them with a grown-up, because a lot of things like blogging, certainly social media like Facebook, you're not allowed to legally use until you're 13. So instead of that being something where we say, well, don't, you know, and never use it, our feeling about that subject is, if you're 13 and you want to do these things, that's fantastic. But if you're not, do them together with your parents as a way to have fun and get to know each other better.
We were talking earlier in our program a little bit about your book and your appearance on the show. And between the two of us, my co-host Bob Carter and I, when we were bored as youngsters, and I'm sure this will hit with most people who are listening, it was, okay, out the door you go. Don't right. come back till 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
How did you pick activities, and what criteria for the activities from the past or from things that we recall to include now?
Well, I think part of that just has to do with the sensibilities of Josh, Tony, and myself. And certainly some of the activities were things that we would have remembered from when we were younger. But we also did have to think about the modern-day reality, which is that it isn't like when I was growing up and my mom, you know, exactly, kicked me out the door and said, come back at dinner. Kids are much more scheduled than they used to be. Organized team sports have eaten into a lot of family life. So I think we tried to think about different kinds of activities that fit into that reality. So there might be something like decorating your sneakers that you can do at home in an hour or 2 hours, or science experiments using very common ingredients that you can find in your kitchen, things that don't take an enormous amount of effort. And we also have those kind of things alongside some very, very involved and detailed projects, like making a remote-controlled water blaster, which certainly wasn't something that technologically we could have made when I was a kid. That's much more now how something, you know, I think that's a really neat example of how some of the technological advancements have created opportunities to be even more creative and do even more fun things. So it was sort of a balance of both of those.
Well, it sounds to me like you have a vivid imagination of your own to play with.
Well, I hope I do. I think that when we were doing the book, I think that Josh is more the naturally playful person. He's more of the fun dad. And I love all of those kind of activities, but I'm also sort of the harried mom who's balancing work and my kids. And so for me, the book was really an opportunity to discover this, to rediscover this part of me, and it helped me engage with my children in a lot more meaningful, fun way. So that, I think, was just a wonderful byproduct of the whole process, and I didn't really realize how much I needed it until I got into it.
Mm-hmm. I noticed a few things that kind of caught my eye that you include in there, and we'll get to more of how you organize this, but things like high and low-tech ways to find a lost pet.
Yeah.
Now, that takes some imagination to come up with that, not only for the idea, but then, okay, what are they? You know, I mean, you have to, it has to be a well-thought-out new plan.
Yes. And that's another thing that I think is really special and unique about On Board is that we, and in addition to Josh, the writing that Josh and I did, we cast a wide net of a lot of really incredible contributors who are experts in these kind of quirky fields that you wouldn't even know actually existed. And so that high and low tech pet search idea came from one of our contributors who had done them before in her life and had all of these different tips. So it was one of those instances that where the minute Josh and I heard it as a story idea, we were thrilled. But we even the two of us didn't come up with that on our own. That was more about us knowing the right kind of people to ask to be included in the project.
So you got a little help along the way.
We got a lot of help along the way, and we're very grateful.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Foy Larson, and she is the co-author of a brand new book, brand new out there for Christmas. It's called On Board, The Essential Field Guide for Serious Fun. And I love that title, Serious Fun. Kind of brings up, I'm not sure what it brings up, but it seems to fit.
Thank you. We at some point we thought about calling the book Serious Fun. I think On Board fits better only because it's such a common refrain that kids say all the time almost by default. I'm bored, I'm bored. So I think the title we came up with was the best one out there, but we also were seriously attracted to Serious Fun.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Foy Larson about her new book, On Board, The Essential Field Guide to Serious Fun, a book about combining some of the old activities for kids along with the new activities to catch the new life that kids are living these days. You had some tough critics in this book, and I guess they're living at your house every day.
I do. I have three children who I read over a lot of the book with, and who, in fact, my two sons, Peter and Henrik, wrote different pieces for the book as well. And I not only test drove all of the activities in the book with them that I was responsible for, but I would go over sort of my writing style with them, and it was very humbling for me one night when I had worked very hard on a story and I had thought it was really fun. It was about sort of the secret, disgusting history of bedrooms. and I read it, and my middle son at the time said, I thought this was supposed to be a fun book, and that's incredibly boring. And it made me realize that I wasn't pacing the writing of it in a way I needed. I think both Josh and I used more exclamation points than we ever had in our entire career writing this book, so which was a great challenge because I'm used to writing for adults, and I realized that while I didn't want to dumb down the book in any way, we certainly wanted it to be something that engaged our readers.
You know, and one of the kind of I would call old school sections in there included a little section about around the world in 80 days, and I can still think back to when that was new and fresh for me and what an impression it made on me. And how did you happen to grab that? Were you in the same boat as I was?
In terms of...
Including that in your book.
Oh, you know, that was the reason that we included that and other wonderful old classics. Mm-hmm. Including Little Women and other things, were that there are a lot of pieces of literature that kids were routinely exposed to that have fallen out of favor. And one of the things that I think has come up for kids today is that there are a lot of extremely good and extremely popular series. But when you decide you want to read Harry Potter, that is such a huge undertaking and a wonderful undertaking. But it cuts out a lot of other pieces of literature that you could come across because you just don't have time. So I think our feeling about that was that we wanted to include these little excerpts just to give kids a taste of these things, and that if they were interested, they could then go on their own and read more from each of them.
And there were some other things that, such as Foursquare, where you grabbed some of the old along mm-hmm. with some of the new.
Right. We included the rules on how to play the playground game Foursquare, and then we also included a section on how to use Foursquare, the app, with your family to do fun activities. And track where you go and different things that you can do on Foursquare, including earning different badges. Again, and Foursquare is one of those activities that if you're not 13, you need to do together with a grown-up.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I think about your new book and think about the kids and the parents, it also dawns on me that there's another segment called the grandparents that could
yes.
do well with a book like this, when the kids show up and the parents leave, and okay, now what do we do?
Yes. We were, you know, in the book, we rarely mention the word parents. We use the word grown-ups because that is the way that we were hoping to reflect that there are a lot of adults in children's lives who really matter to them, and we definitely see grown-ups as we hope that Unbored becomes a great resource for grown-ups when they have their grandchildren over. I'm sorry, I meant grandparents when they have their grandchildren over.
Mm-hmm. You kind of broke this book into four main chapters, one about you, the home, society, and adventure. Now how did you, brought that four topics to the head of the list?
Well, I would have to go back and look, but I think at one point we had up to seven different chapters, and we realized that that was getting kind of too clunky and too unwieldy, and that a lot of our chapters could fit into these four sections. And the way that we decided to arrange the book was starting with the child, starting with you, and moving concentrically out from there. So you then moving out to the home, then to society, and then adventure being much more part of the greater world. So sort of every different chapter as you go on takes the child further from just that very small, comfortable world of their home.
Hmm. Well, you know, it just sounds to me like a fascinating book that I'd like to get a hold of because I think grown-ups can learn by themselves from fun activities as well. And not disappearing into their own screens.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Elizabeth Foy Larson, and she has a new book out called Unbored, The Essential Field Guide to Serious Fun. It's out there, as I mentioned, in plenty of, well, not plenty anymore, but a little bit of time for Christmas. Where can folks find this book, Elizabeth?
Well, it is in a lot of independent bookstores. You can still order it on Amazon if you had expedited shipping, and it is sold in most Barnes & Nobles. In fact, it should be available in all Barnes & Nobles if it's not sold out yet.
And if people want a little more information that what we've covered here tonight, is there a website that they
can... There is, and it's called unbored.net, and we have information. We have new activities that aren't included on the website, that aren't included in the book on the website. We have a lot of information about our contributors, and we also have information about how to buy the book.
Well, that's great. Elizabeth Foy Larson, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. You know, it's a Friday night. It's a time when you could be with your kids right now, and instead you've chosen to join us, and we want to wish you a lot of luck with the book.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.